Call to order the regular Borough Assembly meeting of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska on Tuesday, June 27, 2017 at 7 p.m. Pledge of Allegiance this evening will be led by Assemblymember Becky Rooney, after which you can remain standing for the invocation to be given by Mr. Don McConnell.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, unity. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is in pardon that we are pardoned. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Assemblymember Spielberg?
Here.
Prisanka?
Here.
Rooney?
Here.
Decker?
Here.
Powell?
Here.
Mitchell? And Mayor Jack?
Here. Amendments to the agenda. Any amendments? Conflict of interest. Does anyone have a conflict of interest on any item on the agenda? Item 5, consent agenda.
Move to approve those agenda items listed under consent agenda and those marked with an asterisk. Item 6A.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Hold, please.
Assemblymembers Powell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Prisanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. I'd just like to ask anyone in the audience have a phone with them, if they turn them off, please, or put them on silent. We have no communication. Borough Manager, please.
Okay, so I think we had sent you all a link to this, but if not, if you haven't seen it, and for the general public, the a regional assessment of borough government finances and employment was just released by ICER, which is the Institute of Social and Economic Research at the University of Alaska. It's actually a pretty sobering report, so I encourage you to read it. It's about 30 pages long. At the library, the summer reading program is in full swing. They're busy with kids. They have about 181 kids that are signed up for the program thus far. Electrical. We've had two electrical outages since the strike began on Thursday. The first one, the crews responded on their own and got the lines back up, so I'd like to thank them for that. On the second one, we had been advised sort of a process to try to contact them. It didn't work as good, so I called them directly. They did respond, got the Harbor House, and they had to shut down Peninsula, the point, entirely for about half an hour, but they got it back on. So again, thank you for them. We have since worked out a process for communication for any type of break in services, and hopefully that will work if there's anything in the future. The water plant, the tanks are full. Production with the Trident has started, but I don't think they've cranked up to the highest point, so we continue to ask the community to watch their water use. But one filter was cleaned on Sunday and another was cleaned on Monday. And the plant's doing okay, producing water. Sanitation. We have hired one temporary worker at the dump. People have started to haul their own trash. They're kind of working out the system. It may be that we will likely have to hire a second person, and we'll do that. The other thing is, normally we have two of those open containers delivered each week on the barge. This week only one was delivered. So I think it got into place today, and Greg with AML is trying to figure out what happened and why so it doesn't happen in the future. But if that container fills up pretty fast, we may actually have to close the dump again because we have nowhere to put the trash. So we're watching that and trying to see what's happening there. We are not accepting any materials to burn at the dump at this moment. At the wastewater plant, we've hired one temporary worker for the wastewater and the water department. The harbor, the boatyard has slowed down. Most of the boats have gotten in. There's, I think, maybe a few more to lift. Yachters are starting to come in, getting them tied up at the transient moorage. The dumpsters are staying picked there by harbor staff. We also heard today from the state that we have a contract with the State Department of Transportation to provide, basically they pay for a police officer in order to provide police at the airport during the planes coming in and out. They have called us to say they are going to be eliminating that, reducing it or eliminating that contract. And we're actually having to evaluate, basically it's cutting at least in half, and we've got to really look at it. They haven't sent us the actual modifications, but by they're going to try to continue with some of the payment for the first 3 months of this next fiscal year, reduce it by 50% for the rest of the fiscal year, and by FY19 completely do away with the contract. They are saying that a policeman is no longer required by TSA at the airport, and we're looking into that and trying to figure out what's going to happen. But it may be that contract, well, right now we're looking, there's a notice out for policemen to actually fill that position, and it may be that we have to do away with that position altogether. So we don't have all the details yet. We're still trying to find that out. That just happened today for a July 1 start date. And that's pretty much all I've got for you at the moment. Do you have any questions?
Do we get, I was contacted by Dan Ortiz, and they had just finished doing the budget, and in our conversation, he had mentioned to me that our share of revenue sharing was down to $200,000. Did we clarify, because that's half of what we would normally receive?
We've got to verify that, yes. But that's what we have heard, too, that it's dropped dramatically from what was in the approved budget.
So that, I think what we were approved for was 230 or 240, or sorry, 440.
Mm-hmm. Or yeah, it was 4 something, and it's down to 2 something is what we have been told. I don't have that verified yet.
Okay. And, just so you know, they're not calling it revenue sharing anymore. They're calling it community granting or something. So it doesn't sound like they're doing us a favor. They're doing us a favor versus sharing the revenue.
Yeah. So as soon as I do find out for sure, I will let you all know.
David?
I've heard a lot of stuff about the assembly closing the pot shop over here. Can you clarify that for us?
That would be a business decision on him. His permit was approved by a conditional use permit. He started all commercial businesses or structures under construction in the state of Alaska require fire marshal review. He had started reconstruction and rehabbing of the facility, and we kept asking for the fire marshal approval. When he finally said, well, I don't have it, we had to say, then you gotta stop until you get that, because our building permit requirement also requires review by the fire marshal for commercial buildings. At the same time, the state of Alaska licensing for marijuana businesses also requires that the fire marshal send them a copy and us a copy of the fire marshal review. So we've been waiting on that and still have not received the copy. Now, they're supposed to send one to us, but if he's gotten one, we haven't seen it. But once he has that, he can finish his construction there. Once the state comes in to review whether he meets all their compliance requirements, they will sign off, and at that point, he's good to go to start his business.
So to clarify, this assembly has nothing to do with him not opening his shop?
No. I mean, there was concern by his part at one point because we had delayed writing the letter that he met all of our code requirements.
Yep.
But we were hoping he could get the building permit completed so we weren't having to say, well, it's in favor except you don't have this yet. And that's what we ended up writing. So the assembly ended up, well, we wrote a letter to say, yes, He's met all his compliance except for the fire marshal review, and once that's approved, he's good to go.
Yeah.
Are we not having a burn barrel at the, because I misled people, I'm afraid, because I said they could separate their garbage.
No, not at this time.
But if we get an extra person there?
We'll have to evaluate on a day-to-day basis. If we're able to start accepting materials, we will let people know. But at this point in time, we put the requirements for burn barrels for personal residents and
right.
what they can and can't do. But at this point, we just don't have the ability to monitor that, take the trash, and deal with it. So that'll be assessed daily, and if we can, we will.
Okay. And then one other question. With the container, you say it'll fill up quickly. Is that because our excavator is totally shot, or
no? It's because we don't have another container to replace it when it's full.
Okay. And do we know what happened?
We don't know. I haven't heard yet why.
Okay.
I know Greg. Greg McCormick was looking into what happened. Whatever their agreement was with Banco, and they should do the shipping, but only one came in. We're trying to figure out why, he's trying to figure out why, so that it doesn't happen again.
Okay. Any further questions? Thank you.
Other than what's in my report, I don't have anything to report.
Item 10, Mayor Assembly reports and appointments. Does any assembly member have a report? Yes.
This report on the SEPA meeting from past week. We met here in Wrangell, and it was a really productive meeting. We were able to cover a lot of ground. We got our budget reviewed and all of our capital projects reviewed as well. And I think this coming year we're going to have a fair amount of activity at both of our operations. Both Swan and Tyee will be receiving a fair amount of attention, both in the capital development, but also on ongoing maintenance. I picked up, somebody had written on Facebook that we purchase our power from Ketchikan, and that is not true. I mean, we do not purchase our power from Ketchikan. Ketchikan has its own public utility. They do generate power in Ketchikan, and I guess in a pinch they could backfeed to Wrangell and Petersburg if they needed to, but we don't purchase power from Ketchikan. Our power is bought through a collective of three communities, three public utilities, Wrangell, Petersburg, and Ketchikan. And we're 1/3 joint owner in all the projects that SEPA oversees, and as well as their interties and their transmission lines. We set the rate as the three member communities, and we rotate sort of the power in terms of the political power rotates between the north end and the south end in alternating years. So this year, the political power actually lies in Ketchikan with three voting members, and we have two voting members, one in Wrangell, one in Petersburg. And next year will be three voting members on the north end, two in Wrangell, one in Petersburg, and two in Ketchikan. So we have a pretty fair and equitable way that is divided up. I'll also mention that our power rate, again, for year 15 is remaining consistent at a wholesale rate of about 6.8 cents per kilowatt hour. We've never increased our power rate. Now, people say to me, I'm paying more for my power. Well, it has to do with transmission on the side of the municipality, not on SEPA's side. So we're going to have to look at that as we go on, because we have aging underwater lines and all kinds of different things going on, but we will have to deal with that at some point. So that we don't purchase our power from Ketchikan. I can finish with that. And that's it for me.
In other words, don't believe everything you read on Facebook.
Probably safe.
Yes, Becky.
Went to the Wrangell Medical Center board meeting, and they are operating still with about approximately 30 days worth of cash in the bank, which is always good to hear for us. I know it's not the best for all hospitals, but it's good for us. They've been able to get a lot of the bills sent out and paid back in by use of TrueBridge. So their patients' receivables is down by about $500,000 for the year. So that's a really another good thing. Also, with regards to the new hospital, they are waiting for some estimates on modular buildings before they schedule the workshop with the assembly. That's pretty much the big stuff that happened.
And, sorry, Mr. Mayor. Yes. So, Member Rooney, where are we at with the drawdown on the line of credit that we extended to the hospital?
They have just $20,000 left to pay from
fantastic.
The 150. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Any further reports? Appointments, we have two vacancies. One vacancy on the Economic Development Committee that expires October 2019, and one vacancy on the Wrangell Convention and Visitors Bureau expires October 2018. There have been no letters of interest on either of these, and since we have kind of a captive audience here tonight, do we have any volunteers?
Oh!
Yes.
Convention and Visitors Bureau?
Yeah, really? Great.
Excellent.
No, thank you.
You're welcome. In to see me tomorrow.
Anyone else for the economic development?
I don't think I can do both.
Appreciate it.
That's great.
Well, barring any objection from the Assembly, we'll appoint you to that board.
And for the public, do you want to state her name?
Oh, how you earned, strong.
So we have it on record.
Thank you.
And thank you again.
This is Julie. Could you repeat the name?
Heidi Armstrong.
Thank you.
Okay. We still have the vacancy on the Economic Development Committee, so we'll continue to advertise for that. Next item on the agenda is persons to be heard. This is an opportunity for any member of the audience to speak on an item that is on the agenda. When the agenda item comes up, you will not have an opportunity to speak on it unless the assembly has specific questions regarding the item. I see we have quite a few people that are signed up. Normally we could limit the amount of time. I'm not going to do that. I just ask that you limit your comments to 3 or 4 minutes. Gary Allen is the first to sign up. Would you come forward and state your name and address, please, for the record?
Yeah, Gary Allen, Sr., 609 Evergreen Avenue. I started here, and I was wondering, I guess you guys can't enter into negotiations with them, but can't you tell your attorney to do whatever it takes to get this thing rolling, because nothing's happened, and this is just like headbutting all I can see here. And until you start to get into negotiations, nothing's ever going to happen. So you guys need to do whatever it takes. With the attorney, all the attorneys like to do is prolong this thing. They just make more money. And you guys are getting some bad information from the attorney, which is what I found out. For instance, this power line ball replacement, you guys will not start the generators. For one thing I heard was because the helicopter crew would honor the IBMW, your union. Well, I talked to those guys, they would have worked, but nobody talked to them. So here we have probably excess of $100,000 that SEPA is paying Northern Power Line Constructors because they broke the contract. So we all pay for that. So I think you're getting some bad information from your attorney, but you guys have the power. I think you should tell him what to do instead of him telling you what to do. Or, you know, direct him to do whatever it takes to get this negotiation going in. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Next person is Dave Andreessen. State your name and address for the record, please.
Yeah, Dave Andreessen, 108 Grave Street. I would like to say, at first, I would like to concur, Gary, and about the strike, and that's what I want to talk about is the strike. And I had a question about the curbside garbage. So now we're being asked to take our garbage to the dump. But what about people that don't have cars or the elderly? What are they going to do about it? You know, that's one of my concerns. People that don't drive. You know, how can you have any idea of how many people there are like that? You know, so to leave them out there and not, you know, take them into consideration seems like kind of a grave, you know, violation of, you know, their consideration. You know, and it's boy, that just doesn't sound good. You know, I feel the city could have prevented this strike from happening at the worst possible time of the year. You know, tons of people in town, Trident firing up, Tyee scheduled maintenance. It's a scheduled maintenance. You knew that was going to happen. I mean, to let the strike take place, I mean, you know, I don't know what your lawyers could have done. You could have done something to appease the union to say, well, let's not go to the strike now. You know, let's go back to the table. Let's talk this over, you know. But to let the strike happen now, you know, that's, well, that smacks of incompetence, you know. If somebody, Donald Trump had working for him, you'd be fired, you know. You know, but, you know, a lot of these entities that are unable to proceed, you know, or you know, a possibility of Trident even shutting down because something happens to the water system. You know, you're taking a big gamble with the taxpayers' money. You know, and I don't think you have the right to do that. Take that such a gamble. That's a big gamble. You know, so what are we doing? You know, I feel that you know, you're ultimately going to be spending way more money. You know, with any kind of liabilities that you've incurred already, perhaps, or could possibly, you know, there's the gambling. You're going to end up spending way more money, like millions, to save $100,000 to, you know, comparatively, the amounts are could be astronomical compared to what our dedicated city workers are asking. You know, they don't want to take a and I can't blame them there. Nobody wants to take a pay cut. You know, and comparatively, the liability and the money they're asking is like that, you know. So, you know, are we going to spend millions to save 100,000? You know, that's my concern. You know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Next, Mary Jo Pullman.